Seated. If you would turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 19. Our text today, Luke 19 and verse 28 down through verse 44. Luke 19 and verse 28 through 44. Hear now the word of the Lord. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him the Lord needs it." Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. Days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." This is God's word. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for your word. Lord, our prayer today is that you would come through the power of your Holy Spirit and use this word to enlighten us, Lord, to teach us your word. Lord, to change our lives, to mold them and make them more conformable to you and to your will and to the things that you would have us to do. Lord, we ask that you would indeed teach us today. Lord, show us great and wondrous things in your word, we pray. And Lord, we ask that we might hear your voice this day, and your voice only. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. I know that I preached on this text last year on Palm Sunday. I'm going to say that before any of you have a chance to remind me. And I know at the time that what I said was that we would go ahead and look at Luke 19 and his account of the triumphal entry. And then next year when Palm Sunday rolled around, I'm sure we'd be at some different place in Luke and we would use a different text. But in God's providence and all the things that have gone on in the last year, from vacations to out of town and Brother Jay preaching and various things that have transpired in our journey through Luke, we come today and we are right here at this text. So when God in his providence directs you to a text, I don't think you should ignore it. And besides that, when Martin Lloyd-Jones can preach 56 sermons on John 4 and the woman at the well, I believe that I can preach two on Luke's account of the triumphal entry. And as I said, when God in his providence directs you to a text, silence is not an option. And that's exactly what we see in this text today as Jesus enters the city of Jerusalem. Silence is not an option. What we see, what we've read earlier from Matthew, what we read here from Luke, is that the relative silence, and I say that, I mean, there is noise, there's background noise, there's people walking along the road, there's animals walking, and there's people talking, there's carts and wagons, and it's kind of like standing out by the interstate in our day. There's this noise, but that relative silence was broken all of a sudden by these people who were accompanying Jesus. As Jesus leads this multitude down the Mount of Olives toward Jerusalem, they break into song. They begin to sing with loud voices, and they're singing the Hallel, the praise to God. It's Psalm 113 through Psalm 118. And it's not unusual that these pilgrims on their way to Passover would sing that, because those psalms are sung at the Passover. If you're here Friday night when we do the Messianic Passover Haggadah, you will find out where all those songs fit into the service. And they sang these songs in praise of God for his great victory in the Exodus, and in anticipation of great victories yet to come. So when they begin to sing, and we have recorded for us in the accounts in the Gospels, and all four Gospels record this event, they begin to sing as they get closer to the city the words of the great Hallel, Psalm 118. And it's very probable that the reason they cut branches from the trees and began to put them in the road and to wave them was, it's right there in the psalm we read earlier this morning, end of verse 27. It says, with boughs in hand, join in the festal procession. They're singing it, they're doing it. And as they enter the gates of Jerusalem, as they begin to enter the city and approach the temple precincts, they always did the same things, these pilgrims coming to Jerusalem. They began to cry out, Hosanna. It's there in Psalm 118, verse 25. Save us. That's what it means. Save us. They're imploring God to come and act and to save his people. And then as they come into the temple precincts, the priests respond, and they begin to sing with the people. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. And so this great praise that's lifted up to Jesus, this great song that is being sung, that they have sung year after year, time after time, as they've come to the Passover, suddenly takes on this new meaning today. And Jesus, riding at the head of this great procession, and the people singing the words of Psalm 118 as they come into the temple precincts. But on this day, the priest, the chief priest, and the Pharisees and the elders do not respond with praise for the Davidic king who rides at the head of the procession. They've done it in years past. They've done it throughout the history of Israel, but today they don't do that. In fact, they rebuke Jesus. They say, tell your disciples to be quiet. Knock off the racket. The Pharisees want quiet. They don't want to hear this praise for Jesus. They don't want to hear him proclaimed king. This crowd, this rabble, as they would look upon them, are proclaiming this man to be king. As the other accounts tell us, they're proclaiming him to be Messiah. And the Pharisees don't want to hear any of this. Not only that, the crowd are backing up their claims, as we read today. They're praising God for all the miracles they had seen. They're praising God for the power of God that has been displayed in Jesus Christ, just as the Old Testament prophesied that Messiah would do. Heal the blind, make crippled people walk, raise the dead, preach the good news to the poor. Jesus has done all that. There's a great probability, great possibility that in this crowd there are the likes of Bartimaeus and Lazarus and people who have been healed by Jesus, people who have been healed from leprosy and people who have been cured from blindness and people who have been raised from the dead. Living testimony and proof right here in this crowd that Jesus is Messiah. Besides all that, these people are making a lot of racket. The Pharisees don't like this. I think we often fail to understand the size of these crowds. Our perceptions come from Bible story books and movies and so forth. But we can tell from historical records, Roman records, not Christian records, we can tell from historical records that at this time, the population of Jerusalem probably swelled to over 1 million people at the time of Passover, crowded into Jerusalem, crowded into the area around Jerusalem as they came to celebrate the Passover. There's a great possibility that this crowd is tens, if not hundreds of thousands. We don't have that picture in our mind. And these people break into song. They're shouting and singing and praising Jesus Christ as the King of Israel, as Messiah. They're crying out, "Save us. Messiah comes to save his people." That's what they're looking for. The Pharisees don't like this. You know, Matthew, we read earlier this morning, Matthew's account says that the whole city was stirred. That word stirred in the Greek is a very interesting word. It's the word from which we get our word seismic. This was an earthquake, not a literal earthquake. It was an earthquake of sound and praise. And the Pharisees are nervous. First place, the Romans could easily misinterpret this. Here's a man riding into Jerusalem. They're proclaiming him king, and there's this great swelling noise that, you know, rocks the city. The Romans could easily misinterpret this. There have been other uprisings at Passover, and they've put them down with great violence. They've killed many people before when there were these uprisings at the time of Passover. The Pharisees certainly don't want this. The priests don't want this. Passover is one of the great sources of income for the temple. In the yearly calendar, this is one of the great sources of revenue for the temple. This thing like this could be bad for business. And, you know, there could be people killed. We need to keep this quiet. We need to tone this down. Not only that, what do you do? How can you allow this, much less join in with this praise of the one that you've condemned, of the one that you have criticized, of the one that you're planning to kill? How can you join in with that? The Pharisees don't want to hear any of this. They want quiet. They rebuke Jesus. They tell him, tell these people that are following you to be quiet. Knock off all this king talk and all this Messiah talk. You know, you're causing trouble. Jesus says to them, I tell you, if they are quiet, the very stones will cry out. They should have known this. All of creation testifies to God. Paul tells us in Romans 1 that people are without excuse because the creation itself bears witness of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands, Psalm 19. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Jesus says, it's not possible to make these people be quiet. They have come. Jesus, as we read in Matthew, he is accepting their praise. This is different than throughout his entire ministry. He wasn't looking for praise. He wasn't looking for people to call him king or Messiah. In fact, he resisted that. But on this day, he's accepting their praise. He says, these people, it's not possible for them to be quiet. But that which is impossible, if they were to do that, which they can't do, you'll see something more impossible. You'll see the stones begin to cry out. You know, Calvin said, with a very clever turn of a phrase, I think, he said, wicked men leave no stone unturned in their effort to conceal the reign of Christ. But their efforts are in vain because God will sooner give mouths and tongues to stones than allow the kingdom of his Son to be without witnesses. And I think something in this passage that is very pivotal, very integral to this whole account is the stones, or the stone. You see, Jesus said that these stones will bear testimony of me. If no one else offers up a word of praise, the very stones will cry out. But he also said something else. These stones, these huge blocks of limestone in the temple, tremendous in size, half the size of one of these pews, thicker than that. He said, these stones will bear witness against you, because not one single one of them will be left on top of another, because you did not recognize the day of God's coming to you. You hear what he says? God rode into town today, and you didn't recognize it. And therefore, this temple, these stones, these things in which you put so much trust will themselves bear testimony against you. There won't be one of them left on top of another because of you, because you did not recognize Messiah, your King. You know, they didn't recognize him. They taught the people wrong. They themselves were blinded to the truth of Scripture. They didn't see who Jesus was. And they expected everyone else to fall in step with them. They wanted no praise, no acclaim for Jesus Christ. But Jesus says even the stones will bear testimony. And that indeed happens about a week later. When Jesus is on the cross, when his enemies are reviling him, when his followers are frightened into silence, there was a great earthquake, and the rocks themselves split open. God will not let his Son be without testimony. He will not let him go unnoticed, unproclaimed. You know, these very people, after Jesus' death and resurrection, after his ascension into heaven, these very people try to wipe out his followers. They try to silence them. They bring them into court, into the Sanhedrin, to be our Supreme Court. They said, don't you teach or speak in the name of Jesus anymore. They threatened them with their life. You know, they should have remembered the words of John the Baptist about 3 years ago. He said, as he condemned the Pharisees, he said, they'd said, well, we're the sons of Abraham. He said, no, you're snakes. He said, God is able to raise up from these stones children for Abraham. God will accomplish his purposes. These men should have been listening to the song that was being sung. We read it earlier this morning, verse 22 of Psalm 118. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. They didn't see. They didn't hear. They were blind. They were deaf. They couldn't see God himself in the flesh right before them. They couldn't recognize the one who could make blind people see and could raise people from the dead and taught as no one ever taught. They couldn't even understand that that was God himself. So what about you? Are you singing? Is there a great earthquake of thunderous praise from your mouth about the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, Isaac Watts wrote a hymn, an old hymn. He said, let those refuse to sing who never knew our God. But children of the heavenly King may speak their joys abroad. They may speak their joys abroad. The world wants quiet. The world does not want to hear about Jesus Christ. The world particularly does not want to hear that Jesus Christ is the only way to peace with God. The world does not want to know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that nobody, no one, nowhere in any religion comes to God except through Jesus Christ. They don't want to hear that faith in Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. They don't want to hear that rejection of Jesus Christ is a sure ticket to hell. They don't want to hear that. They want quiet. They say, oh, you can practice your religion. As long as you practice it within the confines of these walls here. Don't be coming out there and talking about Jesus Christ. Don't be proclaiming Jesus Christ as King, as Lord, as God himself. And certainly don't be out there shouting from the rooftops that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. They don't want to hear it. They want it quiet. But you know, 2,000 years of opposition, 2,000 years of persecution, 2,000 years of antagonism have done nothing to diminish the person and doctrine and work of Jesus Christ. It still stands today as clear, as true as it was the day he rode into Jerusalem. And the penalty is still there for those who do not recognize the time of God's coming. He's here in this world. He manifests himself through his people, through his word. And yet, there are all those who try to diminish that. They try to silence that. They don't want to hear that. This crowd this day, many, many years ago, may have misunderstood. They knew what they wanted. They wanted their king, their Messiah, to come. Most of them, the vast majority of them, misunderstood why he was coming. They wanted to be saved. They wanted to be saved from the Romans. They wanted to be saved from high taxes. They wanted to be saved from a number of things. They didn't realize their need, why he really came. But for us who celebrate the Passover in the new way, instituted by Christ himself, who look back at this and see the praise that was heaped upon Christ, we have to ask ourselves, do we rejoice like that? Are we praising Jesus Christ like that? Are we holding him up like that before the world? Are you singing praise of Christ? Are you proclaiming Jesus Christ as King and Lord? Or are you being intimidated? Are you being bullied? Are you being frightened into silence by the world? When it comes to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, silence is not an option. But what does that say of those who refuse to sing? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Thank you that you loved us and sent your Son, Jesus. Lord, fill our mouths with praise, adoration, the highest glory and honor to Jesus Christ, our great King and Lord and Savior. And Lord, as your people, help us, Lord. Help us to speak boldly, clearly. And Lord, help us not be silent. To show forth before the world the truth of the gospel, the love of Christ for sinners, and Lord, the fact that he is the only way and the truth and the life, and that no one can come to the Father except through him. Lord, we have that great treasure. Lord, it is not to be confined within these walls. It is to be on our lips. It is to be a thunderous praise and proclamation of your truth, of your Son, and our Savior. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to that end. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.